Praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you. Glad to have you here today. And just excited about what God is going to do today. I really believe that He's already brought us a blessing and going to continue that. So I'm looking forward to what He's going to do with us during this next time together. And certainly we're glad to have you all here. If you're visiting with us today, we're certainly glad to have you and hope that you have enjoyed your worship time so far, and we'll continue to do so as we go through God's Word. You know, as I come before you each and every week, I'm blessed just to have the opportunity, and I really do everything I can to be real and to be sincere every time. I want to bring a sincere message always from my heart. Unlike my dear friend Jimmy, he got a message here, and it said, "No words could ever express the great unhappiness that I have felt since we broke up, since our engagement got called off. Please say you'll take me back. Please, I'm begging you. Nobody could ever take your place in my heart. Forgive me. I just love you with all that I could ever love anybody. Yours sincerely, Marie. P.S. I am so excited to hear you won the lottery." So, you know, I want to be serious and I want to be sincere when I bring you the message. So, Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 31 will be our text for the day. Getting plugged in. The Lord just laid this message on my heart this week as I was searching and studying for what it is He wanted said. And I tell you, after this morning and hearing the songs, and we don't coordinate any of this stuff, you know, I just leave it up to the Lord. And it always works because God is our power source. And today we're going to get plugged in. And if I just really got a good feeling about what we're going to do. So Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 31, and the Word of God says this: "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." Man, that was some kind of praying, wasn't it? Whoo, man, we got to get back to that. It says, "The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them who believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and gave great grace upon them all." Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for all who is here. Thank you, Lord, for all those who have shared, Lord, in word and song. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to worship here today. We thank you, Lord, for those that have come, and Lord, maybe even those for the very first time. And we thank you, Lord, that have all the opportunities you give us. We thank you for those that have come to know you. And Lord, if today there be one here today that needs some reassurance, if there be one here today, Lord, that needs salvation, if there be one here today that needs a fresh touch, a healing, whatever the case, we pray that today, Lord, we would get plugged into the power of God, that we would truly feel your presence and know that you are here. We thank you for what you're going to do. We ask your blessings upon us now as we go in to the further portion of this worship, Lord, that it would be you and not me. I pray, Lord, that you would empty this servant, fill me with your spirit, Lord, and allow your word to be spoken in the manner in which you have ordained for this day. And we thank you for what you're going to do. We ask you now to go with us. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we ask it now in his name. And we all said, amen. You know, as we look around and we see things, most things that are usable in some kind of way need a power source. They need a power source. Now, it could be in all kinds of forms. It could be electric. It could be batteries. It could be solar, wind, steam, coal, whatever the case. And it could be just plain old manpower. But everything that we see that we use in some kind of way needs a power source. Now, I'm here to tell you today that we are no different. We also need a power source. We need something to get us going. In order for something to work that needs power, in order for it to work properly, the power source from which it gains power, from which it gains its strength, also must work. It must provide the needed energy, because if it's not plugged in, if it's not turned on or fired up or started or whatever, it just sits there and does nothing. It just sits there and does nothing. Well, also, you know, when we think of different examples, of cars without gas, they don't drive. They don't do a whole lot. Stoves without electricity or gas, they don't cook. They just sit there. People without a source of power don't do a whole lot either. They just kind of sit there. They don't do a whole lot. They just sit there, don't move a whole lot, don't accomplish a whole lot. Saw a show not so long ago, and it was about a gentleman who decided to give up on life. He got unplugged, if you will. He decided to quit everything and decided he was just going to lay there and eat. That's all he was going to do. That was the only motion he was going to make. Well, as time would pass, he would transform into what at that time was known as the heaviest man in the entire world. He weighed over 1,200 pounds. They said when he laid down, he was 8 feet wide. When all the excess of him that laid out. We need a power source. We need a power source. We need motivation. We need something to get us going, if you will. We need that little push. We need something to get us going. We need the ability to be able to see life, real life, for what it really is. We need to be able to do that. We need to be able to realize that this power is available, that it is available to anybody that wants it. But what we need to understand here today as believers, it's not an option. We have to have it. We have to have it if we are going to live the life God has called us to. We need to understand today that it is absolutely necessary. We need the power of God. We need it. We need to get plugged into that power source because the life that He has called us to live, the life of the believer, it is not easy. It is not easy. We are surrounded by so many different things as we come into the faith. We have an excitement, an exuberance as we come to know the Lord because we realize, wait a minute, I've got strength now to do things that I couldn't do before. See, but as a believer, we need to understand that those things, if you will, they don't go away. There's things that are around us that are going to try to make us doubt. There's a lot of things that surround us that want to make us doubt. There are so many things around us that's going to try to cause distractions. So many things that are going to come and try to steal our joy, if you will. We need the power of God. We need the power of God to fight this very real enemy. You see, it's not made up. It's not superstition. It's not science fiction. It's real. The enemy is there. And he wants to come in and destroy us. He wants to tear down everything that we're about because he just can't stand for people to do good. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to take our joy. Well, I'm here to tell you today, we're going to go and take it back. Amen? He can't have it. Okay, we're going to plug in to the power of God. We're going to feel His presence. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's your enemy, it says, the devil as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. That's a great illustration that we can place in our mind very, very easily because at some point in time, most of us have seen those nature shows. You know, where the lion is going to go after the whatever. We see him. He's waiting there, crouched down behind the bushes. He's just waiting. And he's watching. And he's sitting there patiently. He's in no hurry. He's just watching. And he's waiting for the right moment. The right moment to present itself. And then the weakest one shows up. The weakest one of the herd, whatever's going by, whether it's deer or antelope or zebras, whatever, it's going down and then he pursues it and he takes it down and he devours it. That's not very nice to watch, you know. That's not a nice thing. It's not a pretty picture. But we need to understand this is what the Bible here is telling us. That's what the devil, that's how he sees us. He's waiting for the right moment. But the question we have to ask and the question we need to understand is who is he looking for? Is he looking for the lost person that's out in the world already doing their own thing? Absolutely not. That's not who he's looking for at all. He's already got them. He don't need them. No, he's looking for me and you. You see why? Because he wants to kill our testimony. He wants to stop that. He doesn't want anybody else to come and hear the truth because Jesus said the truth will set you free. That's what he don't want. He wants to destroy the image of Christ. Now, how does he do that? Because he puts opportunities, if you will, gives us opportunities to act like somebody else. to not act like Jesus. You see, we're called to be in the image of Christ. We are made in the image of God. We're to act more Christ-like as we're out and about. But oftentimes, people don't do that in the way that they treat each other. We have those opportunities to not act like Jesus. The devil wants to place temptations before us that seem impossible to resist in hopes that we will fail. That's what he wants. He wants us to fail. He doesn't want us to succeed at life. Life as a believer is tough. We need a power source. We need to get plugged in. Because the stronger we become, the less effect he'll have on us. And then others begin to see, hey, wait a minute. Something's different with you. You don't act that way. How can you walk away from this? How can you not do this? How can you not do that? Then they start to understand, wait a minute, I want that. I want what you got. How can I have that? How can I have this freedom that you have? And the devil loses even more. And that's good. That's good. We want that rascal to lose everything. We don't want him to have nothing. We need the power of God. We need it to gain this strength that he has said we can have. He guarantees we can have it. What we need to understand, God said it was not good for man to be alone. In that particular passage, he's speaking of a helpmate for our life. But he's also assuring us through his word, we are not alone. We are with him. And he said, I'll be with you even until the ends of the age or to the ends of the world. He said, I'll never leave nor forsake you. We don't have to do it alone. And if you've ever tried to do it alone, it probably didn't work so good. I know I didn't. It didn't work good at all. We need the power of God. We need it to help us reach the lost people. We need it to help us find the words and the wisdom to show others that they need Jesus. They need him in their lives. That it is more than just knowing about him. It is knowing him personally. It is coming to that personal relationship. It is coming not just to come to a service, but it is being one with him. It is coming into that intimate relationship with Christ, growing each and every day. We need this power to show others that life is so much more. It is so much more than just day-to-day breathing, if you will. It is so much more than what we have now. He has promised that in knowing him, we have something. I mean, really have something to look forward to. And we should get excited about that. You know, when you get plugged in, if you plug in a live wire and grab it, brother, I promise you'll be jumping up and down. You know, there was a man one time, it's a true story, it's not a joke. He was working on his lawnmower. Well, his wife, she was a little naive, I'll put it that way. And he asked her to hold the spark plug wire. So let's see if this thing's got any juice. And she held it, and he pulled the cord, and she was hopping that off the ground. When you get a hold to something this real, it changes things. And when you got the Lord in your life, I'm telling you, it'll change. This power we need, it's available. It's real. It's there if you want it. The power is there. And it is not in short supply either. Oh, no. It's not on back order. How many of you ever wanted something, you ordered it, and it's, oh, we don't have any right now. Oh, God, don't run out of stuff. He's got it if you want it. Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and he says this, and it's beginning in verse 18, he says this, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, and that is our key word here, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now we look at this, we've heard this multiple times maybe in life if you've been in church for any number of time. And we understand here first, Jesus says indeed as he begins, I've got the authority. I've been given, if you will, the power to give you power to give this great commission. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, all power. He says, go. Go, therefore. In other words, that is not a suggestion. Okay? He didn't say go, well, if you got time. He didn't say go, well, if you don't have anything else to do or whenever you want to. No, he says go. Now, if he is telling us to go and do something, then he has equipped us to do it. Amen? He has said, I am telling you, I've got all the power. I'm giving it unto you. Go and tell somebody about me. We need a power source to help us accomplish this, what he has asked us to do. We need something. And when we understand here, if we read through this, we understand we've got it. Because he says here, I am with you. He says, I am with you always. He's saying that if we're plugged in, then we've got the power to accomplish anything that he has asked us to do. Oh, except have a dry throat. No, I'm just kidding. But we see here, he says, teach them to observe all things. And I said that was a key word. He said, observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. To observe something, we have to do what? Watch. What are we seeing? He said, teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. How do we watch? We look, we see. And if we as believers are to teach others to observe, then we are required to change. Because he has asked us to, allow others to observe us, that we are showing what he has commanded. What did Jesus command? Love God and love one another. Can people see that? Can people see that in us? Because that is what they are to observe. We as believers need a power source because God has called us to a mighty task. He has called us to be different than anything else that we're around, anybody else. We are to indeed be light in the dark. You know, if you walk into a dark room, what makes a difference? When you flip the switch. Because it stays dark until then, right? Or until a light source, sunshine, whatever comes through the window. He says, go. And tell people about me. In other words, he's saying, walk into the darkness and make a difference. Teach them to observe what I have commanded you. When they ask him what the greatest commandments was, he said, love God and love one another. You do that, all the rest of it will fall in place. Because he said, if you love me, you will do what I have commanded. So he's saying, show something. We need his power to do this. We need this power in order to carry this light into the darkness. If this text for the day, it says that there was a great power. It talks about there was a great power given unto the apostles about the resurrection to witness. They were able to see what was going on. This was so that they could be empowered to tell people. So that it wasn't merely, well, this is what I heard. Or this is what so-and-so said. No, they can say, I saw it. I witnessed it. That's what Paul often talked about. He said, I saw it myself. I went through it. They were able to show it. They were able to live it before others. In other words, they were able to show without a doubt, this is real. It's not just a story. It's not anything. This is real and it is life-changing. Because when Jesus arose on the third day, this power, if you will, became available to everybody that would accept him. To everybody that would say, yes, I will believe. The early church, they got it. They figured it out. They listened, and then things changed, and they began to act in a different way. They saw it firsthand. They got plugged in. They plugged it in directly, and they saw, we've got a power to change the world. Now, we hear sayings like that today. You know, there's been songs written by that title. But they saw that they could literally change people's lives for eternity. What's more important? A change for a season or a change forever? You know, because change today, that's been attacked and attached to all kinds of different things. You know, political and all of the kinds of ways. When we see here, they understood what this meant. They understood that it could change. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ could change people's lives. They said in Acts 17 and 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these who have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They were looking for Paul and Silas. They couldn't find them at this very minute. But they had understood this young man named Jason had allowed them to stay with him. That seems pretty harmless. They'd been out preaching the gospel. They were telling people about Jesus. They were talking about grace and forgiveness and all the things that Jesus brought to them. And it made some people mad. It made the Pharisees hot. Boy, I mean, they didn't like this at all. It made all the religious leaders, if you will, of that time, all kinds of upset because people were hearing the truth. People were getting saved. People's lives were being changed. And they said here, the ones that were turning the world upside down. Man, they couldn't believe it. They were seeing things happen. It was changing everything. These words brought some serious change to everybody. What a tremendous reputation these early believers had. Wouldn't you like to be known as somebody that changed the world with the truth of the message of Christ? You see, the power of this gospel, the power of this Word of God, when we fully plug into it, I don't mean just a little bit, I mean all the way. I mean getting all the juice out of it you can get. I'm talking about, I mean, pulling every power out of it you can get. It's like grabbing a hold of one of them transformers of one of them big light poles, getting all you can possibly stand. This power that comes from this word, it breaks down walls. It changes lives. It moves mountains, if you will. It opens doors that seems impossible. I heard a lady, before we left, I guess it was some months ago, before we moved here, we heard a lady come and give her testimony that her ministry, if you will, that she'd been called to from many, many years ago, leaving a very successful veterinary practice or whatever, was to take Bibles to where they couldn't go. She said, I don't know why, but I believe that that's what God called me to do. She said, I heard a story about a man who said he used to do that. And she told story after story after story of being able to go into Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, all these places where the Bible is not allowed and never one time be touched. Never one time. The power of this gospel can open doors that seem impossible. It can restore people's lives. It can change hearts. It can make people brand new. Brand new. That's what the Word says. If you come to Christ, you will become a new creation. Praise God. And we can get excited about that. Our world needs to be turned upside down again. Amen? We need to see people's lives being restored. We need to see families being healed. We need to see things happening. And it can happen because God says it can. The power of the gospel. We got to get plugged into it. And it is still available. It is still available. It's like a receptacle on the wall. It's just sitting there waiting. It's just sitting there. All you got to do is just get into it. The power of the gospel message of Christ, it is not simply for improving programs or to encourage people to behave, but instead it is a dynamic, life-altering, life-changing experience with God. That is what we want to have. We don't want to just be here this morning just for the sake of being here. We truly want to have an encounter with God Almighty. We want to get plugged into what it is He offers us and what we can take away from this to improve our lives when we walk out of this door into the world. We want to be able to take this message to others who have either never heard it or never believed it and see their lives changed. We need to get plugged in. And we need to stay plugged in and do everything that we can to see people's lives change. That's what God has called us to do. Because you see today, we hear the news. If you listen to the news, you see things around us. There are indeed people trying to change the world. There are people whose platform, if you will, is change. I saw a bumper sticker that said the big word, had a big word on it. It said change. Then the underscore says, I want mine back. Now, you can take that for whatever you want. But it said, but we do see things happening that people indeed are saying, we want to change the world. But not in a good way. You see, the power source that I speak of today is the power of God. But we need to also understand there's a very powerful enemy out there lurking around that he can be plugged into as well. What do we What do we need to do to directly plug into our power source? What do we need to do to have what it is that I am talking to you about today? The power of God. How can we have it? How can this power be ours? Well, we're going to look back at this original text, Acts 4 and 31. And it said, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The very foundation. Everything's got to have a foundation. Every building, every program, whatever. Everything's got to have a start. The very foundation, the beginning of this power is found in our prayer life. How strong is it? How strong is our prayer life? Now, I've got a few things that I talk about quite a bit in my ministry that the Lord has given me. And sometimes I have been accused of repeating myself more than one time. But some things bear repeating. Some things need to be said over. I had someone one time ask me, he said, are you ever going to preach anything but salvation? I said, not until everybody gets saved. So, I mean, what's more important? There's nothing more important. There are a lot of things that are important, but there are some that are even more. Do we believe when we pray? Because that's key. Because if we don't, it's just words. We have to believe. Do we look to God to simply prove himself? Because see, God doesn't have to. God doesn't have to. The ones asked Jesus, they said, you know, we need a sign. He said, there'll be no more sign. I've done it all. I've told you what needs to be said. One main key to receiving the power of God is to truly believe. And I mean really believe that he can. We have to believe that he can. Asking him and knowing without a doubt, with all our hearts, that he not only hears us, but that he will answer. I can tell you today there's three answers to prayers. Yes, no, or wait. That's usually what it is. That's what God has when we look at our life. But he will answer. He will answer. This passage said, when they had prayed, in other words, after. This was afterwards. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. You want to know why? Because the power of God had been plugged into. It had been plugged into in a mighty way. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There was no question about where their power was coming from. God was there with them. The building was shaken. They knew without a doubt that he was there. They knew it. There was no question. And just as bright and as powerful as a large, giant spotlight shining down on a performance or a football field or somewhere, just as sure as that power is, our power begins with a strong prayer life. We need a strong prayer life, one that is filled with true belief. I mean, complete and total belief of all the things that God has said he could do. Because when we look back at the life of the disciples and the ministry that they were called to, of all the things that they could have asked Jesus to teach them or to help them with, of all the things they could have talked to him about and all the knowledge that he could have departed to them or given them, what did they ask him to teach them? How to pray. They said, how do we pray? And he said, you pray in this manner. And of course, we know that he gave them the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, if you will, by which to pray. The manner in which to pray. Now, this wasn't merely to give them words to recite over and over and over and not understand the meaning. This was talking about thinking about what you're asking. Who are you talking to? You are talking to your Father, the one who is able, the one who can. That is, and do you really believe it? All the formula is there. These disciples recognized the power of prayer. In our time here, we need to understand the benefit, the tremendous benefit and power that comes from a strong prayer life. Because prayer is awesome. Prayer is awesome. Why? Because you are talking to God. You know, I mean, to think how much greater could you get? You know, you are talking to God Almighty. When we plug in to this tremendous power, when we really believe that he can do what he says that he will do, lives will change, including ours. You see, these early believers, they saw it. They not only saw it, they felt it. They knew. They knew. And if you've ever had an opportunity to be truly in the presence of God, it is an awesome thing. And you know it. And you feel it. I've been there very recently, and I'm telling you, it's awesome. When others see it, and they realize something is going on. Something is going on. We hear statements, again, like change the world. Change your life. These are fairly common today. Fairly common. They're attached to some type of product most of the time or some kind of political policy or resolution. But this wasn't the case here in the book of Acts. This was of a spiritual nature. This was where lives, eternal lives, not temporary, eternal lives were changed. And they were being changed. And the move of the power of God was so incredible, it says here, the building was shaken. And it wasn't an earthquake. Oh no, it was a power of God moving. This power of prayer gave them a boldness. It says they spoke the word of God with boldness. In verse 31, it says they spoke it with boldness. Boldness means to have great courage. It means that you have assurance of what it is that you are saying, that you have no doubts. In other words, I really believe this. I really believe it. It is very real. I fully accept the fact that it is real. And I'm going to share it without doubt. And I'm going to share it without shame. That's what they saw. That's what they felt. Because this was real. We can plug into this very same power. It's not outdated. The bill's been paid in full. Everything's ready. Your plug will adapt no matter what it's going, no matter whether it's a two prong or a three, man. It'll all work, I promise you. And it will change things. We can plug into it and become known, as this word says, as those who are turning the world upside down. Do we realize that if believers would just start believing again? If believers would just start believing again, things would not be the way they are today. There are too many who have unplugged from their power source. Too many. Too many. The cords have been unplugged. The wires have been cut. The battery's been taken off the charger and they just lay there dead. That is not what God has called us to do. If we truly, and I mean truly, want to experience the power of God, we've got to plug in and stay plugged in. You ever seen one of them plugs? I think usually they're on a dryer or a big 220 plug, something that you'd plug it in and turn it and lock it, and that rascal won't come out. That's what we need to do. We need to plug in and stay plugged in because we have the power there. It is available to us at all times. We have the power source of prayer, but we also have the power source of love. You're like, what does that got to do with anything? It's got everything to do with everything. It says in verse 32, and the multitude of them who believed were of one heart and of one soul. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? One heart and one soul. You see, fellowship of believers in a church body is built on love. That's right. It's built on love. I believe that God is moving here among us in a mighty way. I believe that. I've felt it. I've seen it. Things are happening here, and it's a great place to be. I feel a wonderful spirit among us beginning to grow. Even here in our beginning stages, we've only been together just a little over a couple of months now, but God is moving. Would you say so? Amen? God is doing some mighty things here in our community. And this is the key. This power of love allows us to do it. It allows us to do what we have been called to do. It has allowed us to do what we've been called to do. And that is what will allow more and more and more people. And I'm absolutely convicted and believe this. More and more people in our community are going to come to know Jesus because of what we're doing right here in this building. Amen? I believe that. And it is the power of love that allows that to happen. Paul clearly writes in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 13, one of my very favorite passages of Scripture, because it really speaks so, so clear that all efforts are useless without love. Let's read this. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, I'm just noise if I don't really mean this. That's all it means. if I don't mean what I'm telling you, if I'm not sharing it from my heart with love, that I really care whether it changes your life or not, it's just noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself. And in other words, it never brags or is puffed up. It is not puffed up or prideful. It does not behave itself unseemingly. It seeks not her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Praise the Lord. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when they which is perfect is come, that when it is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But for now, we see as a glass, darkly, through a glass, darkly. But then, face to face. Now I am part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Everything that God does, He does it in love. Everything. Even when punishment is involved, even chastising those that he loves, correcting those, if you will. Because if he didn't care about us, think about it this way. If he didn't care about us, he'd let us do whatever we wanted with no consequence. Now, we are allowed to do whatever we want, but there's a consequence, right? But if he didn't love us, we could just do whatever we wanted. It wouldn't matter. There would be no consequence, no nothing. That's what some people want you to believe. When we as a parent, think about that. What loving parent would do that? What loving parent would allow their children to do something that you knew was going to hurt them and there not be at least an opportunity to stop them? Now, they may very well go do it anyhow, especially as they get older, but it wasn't because you didn't tell them that it wasn't good for them or that you didn't try. Our girls are little, and so they get into everything. I mean, everything. Lord have mercy, everything. But oftentimes, we find ourselves, and that's one of those times where you repeat yourself a whole lot. don't do that. But why? It's not because in the grand scheme of things that it really matters, but oftentimes it's something that might not be good for them. It may hurt them. It may fall on top of them, whatever the case. And we do that because we love them. We tell each other the truth about this gospel message. We tell those that we care about, those that we love, about eternity and spending it with Jesus, not to condemn or be hateful, but because we love them. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We need to understand that. That's the truth of this message. That's the truth of this. The power of love is truly amazing. To truly receive the full power of God, we have to plug in to the power of love as well. Because real love forgives. Real love forgives. Real love breaks down walls and barriers. And I think of places around the world, I think of people sometimes, where hate reigns instead of love. Hate instead of love. What an awful way to live. To never be kind, or to never be treated kind. To never have a nice word for anybody, or to never receive a nice word from anyone, because that is not what God wants. That is not what God wants. We were created in the image of God, and God is what? Love. He wants us to display that. Now, that word gets tied to a lot of different things today. When we understand the pureness of what that word means from our heart, it is an awesome thing, because love looks for the best. It looks for the best in everything and everyone. Love helps to build up and never tear down or hurt. Love is considerate. Love is passionate. Love cares about those that are lost. Love gives us the power we need to do as the first church did and set aside all differences and allows us to come together and get busy worshiping the one that came to save us, Jesus Christ. That is what love allows us to do. It allows us to look at the one who gave his life for each one of us. It allows us to see the one who arose 3 days later, just as he promised, and even greater beyond all of that. It allows us to worship the one today and get excited about the one who has promised to come back. It allows us to see these things as reality. It allows us to have another chance. You know, we see these game shows on television, you know, and the person loses. But they said, oh, wait a minute, you got 3 lifelines. So you really didn't lose. You can try 3 more times. You know, and then they usually get way up and they say, oh, I'm going to try one more time, and then they lose it all. Yeah, that's usually how that works. God says to us, I love you so much that no matter how many times you've messed up, no matter how many times you've lost, I'm going to still keep giving you a chance until you get it right, until you come to me. God has such an abundant source of power, such an abundant source of resources. It is never ending, and it is available to anybody, everywhere that wants it. The early church experienced this. The Bible tells us they were of one heart, of one soul. In a marriage, 2, it says, are to become one. They are to unite as one. Without the power of love, that cannot happen. That cannot happen. They stay 2 unless there's real love for it to become one. We are to be Christ-like in our actions as believers, and that requires a display of love. We are to become one with Him. And His commands, again, were to love God and love one another. Love one another, it makes each other important. It makes another person important, more important than just stuff or things. To receive the power of God, to truly get plugged into the power of God, we have to have the power of prayer. We have to have the power of love. And lastly, we need the power of witnessing. You're like, wow, how does these 3 go together? Well, 2 equal the other. Verse 33 says, and with great power, in other words, they had assurance, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, through prayer, they received the assurance of the power of God. That's what their prayer life brought them. When the building was shaken, where they were at, they had assurance, okay, we are plugged in. We have the power of God. This allowed them to allow their love to grow. And it says that they began to love one another. And they began to grow. And the importance of each other was of great concern because of this power they've been given. The power, the great power that they had now to witness. Because the power of prayer showed them the power of God. The power of love allowed them to care for other people. Therefore, I got to go tell somebody. I got to go tell somebody what God has done for me. They knew that they had to go tell other people. They knew without a doubt that they had the truth, the true message. And without a question, they knew that this message would change and improve people's lives. It wasn't just changing for the sake of changing. It was going to truly change people's lives for eternity. Jesus says, I give not unto you as the world gives. The world gives us to us temporary. It doesn't last. You know, whether it's a thing that breaks before you get it home or whether it's just a temporary feeling that someone tells you, you know, everything's going to be okay and it is for just that moment and it doesn't last because whatever it was wore off. Jesus says, I'll give it to you forever. They were now able to say it with great authority. It says they were given great power to witness because now they were plugged in to the main power source. They had it. And they were drawing. The meter on the side of the house was about to rip off, man. I mean, it was going as fast as it could go. When I lived down south and you had to run the air conditioning all summer long because it was 789 degrees, you know, that meter was just a whipping on the side of the house. It was like a helicopter over there. But they knew. They knew now and they understood the power of the cross. They understood how real this was. They understood the power of the resurrection because they saw Him. They knew that this was real. When we witness something, it means to give an account of what you actually saw. Amen, Brother Bob? It means you got to see it. If you're giving witness of it, that means I'm telling you the truth of what I saw. Not what I heard, not what I think I saw or think I heard, but what I really saw. People can still be witness to today. It's not a common practice anymore, sadly, but it can still happen. And it is not just by our words, but it is actually by what they see. I can tell you anything and make you believe it. But it's what I show you. That's what tells you it's real or not. That's what tells you whether it's real. It's what do I see? Who do I see when we see each other? Not just here, gathered here this morning, but out there, or at home, or anywhere else. When we're plugged in, the power is there. The power is there. The question is that we need to think on, has this power changed? Has this power diminished in any way? No, because He is still today the same as He was yesterday, today, tomorrow, and tomorrow's on forever. He will never change. We can still plug into this same power source and have a great power to witness because people still need Jesus. That has not changed, my friends. People still need Jesus. This Great Commission is still valid. It didn't have an expiration date. It's not run out. It's still there. And we still have work to do as long as you're drawing breath on this earth. Of all the things that we can talk about from this pulpit or from any class or anything else, the most important is salvation. Because it is only after a person has received Christ that any of the rest of this even matters. Because it's foolish, as the Bible says, to those that don't understand. You got to have Jesus first. In other words, if your lamp is not plugged in, it don't light the room. Amen? I mean, that's what you got to have. You got to have that power source. You got to receive Jesus and His eternal security and grace that He offers for anything else to matter. To a lost person, the Bible is just a book. Or it is merely attached to the word religion or something like that. But when they come to know Jesus, when somebody comes to know Jesus, this becomes the living Word of God. It changes everything when you come to know Him. It is our guide for life. A friend of mine came up with the acronym, or maybe he didn't come up with it, but he used to say it a lot. The Bible, B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth. It tells you everything you need to know from here on out. All through eternity and on. So it is our promise from God. It is God's letter, if you will, to us that He loves us. He is there for us always in the good and in the bad. He's there on the mountain. He's there in the valley. Living a good life is good. It makes people like us. It makes people respect us. But until we come to Christ, in God's eyes, we're still lost. You got to have what He offers us. People today, churches today, don't like to talk about that. But we have to. We have to if we're going to fulfill what Jesus set forth. We have to. If we're going to do this great commission He has asked us to do, and that is tell people the truth of the gospel and His saving grace. Every infomercial that you see on television, it tells of a wonderful product. One that you just have to have. You gotta have this, man. It'll change your life. And for two easy payments of $19.95, it can be yours. It can be yours. Actually, I've seen that lately go up to $39.95, so it must be inflation, I guess. But we laugh. We laugh and we think about those advertisements. But think about what is being done. They tell us about their product, right? Man, they sell it. They package it up. They make it pretty. They tell you how easy it is to have and all this other stuff. But they don't stop there, right? The end of that commercial tells you how you can have it. You know, it gives you the opportunity, if you will, to call, you know, or to write and send them a check or whatever. You can have it for yourself. the great power to witness, we must understand this. What good does it do for us to tell anybody about how great Jesus is and what all he can do for them and all this other stuff and never tell him how they can have him? People's got to know. Not everybody understands. We need the power of God to be a witness, because that takes us beyond our normal human nature of, well, I'm not sure if they'd want to hear about this, or, you know, I'm kind of shy, or I'm not well spoken, or whatever. The power of God gives us the ability to be a witness. We pray and we understand who he is, and we understand that he is capable. We receive his power of love, and we listen to what he has to say, and then we begin to care about others and their souls. And then when we put these two together, when you put that white wire and that black wire together, buddy, you got power. And it says you can be a powerful witness. There are too many churches today, my friends, that have pulled the plug. They try to entertain, they try to motivate, they try to make everybody feel good, but rarely, if ever, if they tell the whole truth. The whole truth. And that is, you gotta have Jesus. They worry about people getting offended. They don't have a power source anymore. They unplugged, and they're trying to do it on their own. Well, I assure you today, as long as God gives me breath, and as long as he allows me the grace of being here, the truth will be preached from this pulpit. I promise you that. People will hear, if they come through these doors, they'll hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I've been plugged in. And I plan on sticking a wire in all of you and lighting you up and getting you going. Amen? We're going to do it. Because we as believers, we as a body of Christ, we have access to the most awesome source of power that exists in the form of God Almighty. He is there, and we can change everything. We can change people. We can change our community. We can change the state, the world, whatever. And all you got to do is plug in. The early church, they accomplished monumental things. Think about what it says. They gave one message. Peter preached one message and 3,000 people got saved all at one time. Could you imagine 3,000 people coming here for something in Williams and all of them get saved on the same day? Praise God. Wouldn't that be something? We'd be building a new building next week. Praise God. It'd be something else. Thousands of people in one day. Over time, millions upon millions of people have come to know Christ because of the power that was plugged into on that day when the early church began. They were shown that it can be done. We are being told today, you can still do it. You can still do it. Getting back to the basics, if you will. Plugging in. Getting back to God's power is the key to keeping everything going until Jesus comes back. Prayer, love, and witnessing will shake up the world if you really mean it, and it'll change lives. To make them all work, to make anything work, we need a power source. But not just anyone, not just any power source, we need the power of God. He is waiting. All he's waiting to do is hear from you. He has an abundant supply of outlets. There's no endless, it's just endless. He's just waiting for us to plug in. So let's get plugged in. Let's get plugged in. Let's help as many people come to know the joy that we share here together as much as we possibly can. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us today. Lord, we just feel your awesome presence, Lord, and we know that indeed that you are a power source. Father, we ask you now as we conclude our time of this message, Lord, I just pray that it has spoken to hearts, that indeed, Lord, has set a spark, if you will, that many people here today, Lord, have heard something that they can take with them, that will encourage them, that will build them up, that, Lord, we will feel your indeed, we'll feel your power through our prayer life. Lord, that we will fall in love with you and allow that love to spill out to all those around us, Lord, that we truly care about their eternal destination. And, Father, that it would equal a strong witness. That, Lord, in the weeks and months and days to come, Lord, as you so tarry, that we will see each and every time, Lord, that more and more seats are full. To the point, Lord, where we're beyond capacity. Lord, where we can't contain all that would be here to be fed from your word. May you change lives and hearts today. Father, we give you this time of invitation. as the musicians come and the words are sung, Lord. If there be one here today that doesn't know you, Lord, may they come. May they come, Lord, and ask how. Lord, if there be one here today who's walked away from you and they need to be restored, may they come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If there's one here today, Lord, that needs a fresh touch, a word of encouragement, whatever, Lord, may they use this time to speak unto you. Exercise our power source of prayer today. We thank you for what you're going to do. We dedicate this time to you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.